Good morning each. Our reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter 5, 1-7, and Terry's doing the honours.
To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it all over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, how many of us here like boastful, cocky people? Not many, I shouldn't think. But God exhorts us to be humble towards one another. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, I used to work with an old bloke. Well, he was old to me at the time. And he was a lovely Christian fellow. And he was always on about how humble he was. I'm humble. And his daughter, who was in our fellowship, said to him one day, "Dad, you know, you are proud that you are humble." Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's true, isn't it? We've got to get that in our hearts and our mind, that he cares for us. When Abraham Lincoln was talking to a friend during the Civil War, he told him how often he was forced to get on his knees because there was nowhere else to go. The time comes with each one of us when we've got no one else to go to except God. We might not get on our knees because it's a bit painful when you get older, but we go to God because we need someone to support us. We need that care and support. In adversity and trouble, we usually want God to do a removing job. But maybe he's wanting to do an improving job. To realise the worth and strength of an anchor, the ship and the sailors need to feel the storm. On the 12th of November, Selwyn Hughes wrote this. One of the first things we need to learn, Selwyn Hughes believes, if we are to overcome tension and stress, is that God has arranged for life to come to us in manageable portions, such as a day at a time. Suppose all the future were dumped into our lap in one fell swoop. All that we would be overwhelmed. But our wise and loving Father God has decreed that life be served up in small portions so that we can manage what is given to us. The worries of yesterday plus the worries piled on today can break the stoutest spirit. But divide the worries and you will conquer them. Someone wrote this in Selwyn Hughes' Bible just after he became a Christian. I have nothing to do with tomorrow. My Saviour will make that his care. It's grace and it's faith I can't borrow, so why should I borrow its care? Dr. Robert Schuller, who renowned for saying, life by the yard is hard. Life by the inch is a cinch. But you might be saying to yourself, that's all very well, but what about the worries of yesterday and those of tomorrow? I'm facing some very difficult situations. Well, God has them in his hands. He has our yesterdays, and he's willing to forgive any mistakes that we made in them, providing, of course, we ask him. We need to ask him. He holds our tomorrows too, and will provide the grace and the power to meet them, but only as they come. Our Heavenly Father does not provide for what is not yet here. His grace is like the manna the Israelites ate in the wilderness. When kept over to the next day except before the Sabbath, it spoiled and went bad and was rancid. It had to be eaten day by day. And that's our experience, or needs to be our experience. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking through the winter snow. Emma talked about snow this morning. He was walking through the winter snow with Jesus. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints. One was his, and the others was Jesus. When the last scene flashed before his life, he looked back at the footprints in the snow. He noticed that many times in the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He noticed also that it happened on the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned Jesus about it. Lord Jesus, you said that when I decided to give my heart and life to you and follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. Jesus replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During the times of your trials and uncertainty, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you. Jesus said, surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And that comes from Matthew 28:20. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The superintendent of the mission school read the text, my yoke is easy. Turning to the children, she asked, who can tell me what a yoke is? A little girl said, it's a thing they put round the necks of animals and horses to pull things. She said, that's right. Can anyone tell me what the meaning of God's yoke is? They were all silent for quite a little while. Then a four-year-old put her hand up and said, it's God putting his arms round your neck. What a comforting thought that is, that he does that. He puts his arms round our necks to comfort us. It's not a burden, it's a hug of love from God. Our Uncle Simon, he had a small holding, but actually he was a miner the same as my dad. And his farm sheds were some 300 or 400 yards away from where he lived. He would milk his cows in the shed, and then with a yoke he would carry the milk back home with a bucket on each side. His water supply at that small loading was a well. So this little silly twit, he thought, I'll get a bucket of water up. I got the bucket halfway up and realised I couldn't get it any further. So I let go of the handle. Guess what? It hit me on the head. It's not very funny, really. Learning lessons in life can be quite painful at times. I never tried to bring water up from that well again. The doctor to his patient said, I have bad news for you and worse. Well, let me have it then. Well, said the doctor, the bad news is that you only have 24 hours to live. Patient, well, what can be worse than that? I forgot to tell you yesterday, the doctor said. Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do we carry each other's burdens? The key word to carrying each other's burdens is love. The fact that I love someone, I put them before myself. And I'm out for their benefit and their good. It has been said, a burden shared is a burden halved. And Draper's book of quotations for the Christian world says, a burden shared makes it a lighter load. Trying to ease the burden of others can seem hopeless. Not for this little boy. In 1985, the Los Angeles Times ran this interesting story. It happened a few days after the disastrous earthquake in Mexico City. A little Japanese-American boy was going from door to door selling picture postcards for 25 cents. And he was giving the profits to the earthquake fund. One man bought some postcards and said to the little boy, how much do you hope to raise? The little boy answered quickly, $1 million. The man smiled and said, do you mean to tell me that on your own you are out to make $1 million for the earthquake fund? Oh no, he said, no, my little brother's helping me. Years ago, John Whedon and I repaired the manse shed roof. We got there and we took off all the rotten timbers of this one side. One side was perfectly okay, but the other side was rotten. So John and I ripped these timbers off. We went down to Home Base and they cut a piece of plywood the exact size that we wanted. John and I went back, nailed it on, refelted the roof, and we got the job done. Together we mastered the job. One person on his own would have struggled to do the job. But together, we shared the load and shared fellowship. So it was a win-win situation for John and I. Psalm 55:22 tells us, cast all your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. As a supervisor, which I was, you have pressures from the boss above and you have pressures from those underneath. You have to make sure they're doing the job properly. You have to make sure that they're behaving themselves and they're pulling the weight and so on. Now, the boss above me was a lot younger than I was, and why he was doing it, I don't know, possibly to prove that he was the boss. But very often, he would when I hand my holiday form to him, he would screw it up and throw it in his bin. Now, I didn't go much for that, and I remember one time I went on holiday not knowing if my form had gone in. So I was a bit upset about this, really. And it was pressures I didn't need. To get the job out on time, you had to be there with the men and seeing the job was done. One weekend, I became quite ill. I seemed to want to pass out. Couldn't make out why. Got phone for the doctor. In those days, they came. And the doctor came and he said, I think you've had a heart attack. So ambulance came, away I went into Winchester Hospital. But there they found I had atrial fibrillation, which is my heart pumping twice as fast as it should, and because of that it's not pumping properly, and because of that I had very low blood pressure, hence the reason I wanted to seem to pass out. When I got over this and went back to work, I didn't treat my boss with quite the same regard as I did before. And the other supervisor that shared the office with me, and then the boss had the inner office. We faced him up with the fact that he was putting pressure on us that he needn't have done. So we faced him up with that. When we cast our care on the Lord, really, completely, and mean it and leave it there, this promise really becomes true. Cast all your care on the Lord and he will sustain you, and he cares for you, and he does. A minister talking with a member of his church one day, and she said to him, you know, I take all my worries and my troubles to the Lord in prayer. And the minister said, yes, and you bring them away with you. It's easy, isn't it, for us in our prayers to tell the Lord all about our troubles and our problems and our difficulties. And then when we come away from praying, half an hour later we find we're worrying about them. Now, when we do this, this actually is a lack of trust in the Lord. We're not leaving it with him. And actually, it's sin. Not to trust the Lord with something we've just given to him is sin. So we need to confess to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Once again, I will finish with Selwyn Hughes from the November the 9th on a Friday. And he says, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Help is on his way in the presence of Jesus himself and backed up with the full resources of heaven. And that's true. That's true. He does that. And he had a prayer after that. Father, I feel my heart filling up with cosmic optimism. Help me here to realize that we are capable of anything through your strength and power. In Jesus' name.